so tricky and so beside the point and at the same time so complicated that I think it would meet our purposes, because if the Russians reject it, we can just say we made a really major effort. And if they accept it, it looks like a hell of a step, and it really doesn't mean a hell of a lot.
So in other words, getting our brains and who work on
it. But you don't know, and the fellow who's going to replace Greenhill and Bert Trent, fellow
comes out of order now.
No, Brimlow, the head of the newly appointed head of the Foreign Army. Brimlow,
he's the one you talked to today,
but really very clever. And I think there's a 50-50 chance that the Russians may accept it, because then all would be great. You know, it'd be a little bit like the principles we agreed to. A little bit more than this.
But like the Chinese.
Well, we'll have to explain it to them. But
if they know what to do with the Chinese, that's why I want to see those letters as quickly as they can get away there. And I'll put something in there. We've got to basically buy a letter. But I'll know. He sure will live much longer than I am in this office. He's got a personal commitment. And that's all he's going to
do. If you're at
that's the reason I want to get a letter off the president. If we can get that across to him. Because let me tell you what this conflict does. It's something that does not disturb our allies. One of the things it does, it confounds our enemies at home. The bastards won't know what to do with them.
Right? It could go right to the edge of confounding our allies, but that reminds us the British that can help us there. I've prepared the ground in China, and your letter was prepared for that.
You have a letter prepared along what you want.
Secondly,
I'll put in some things that will be often coming.
Domestically, it will totally confound our critics, because it will be a major step. No one has recommended it. Totally new. It looks like an enormous affair. And the Russians may buy it for that reason.
Sounds like Kellogg Briand. Let me ask a couple of things. What is the analysis of the French election? My guess is that the Gaulists did a little better than they expected, didn't they? I noticed that the UPI was crowing about the stunning victory. No, they were talking about it. Yeah, but rather than say the communists may gain the better than hopefully that later on, apparently from a 10% is down to 2%.
But,
and basically the thing that happened that you thought would help the Gaulists, the communists did better than the socialists.
That's right.
You think the Gaulists then have a good chance?
But I have to analyze these percentage figures, they're very confusing.
I know, but I meant.
But
they're better than the polls.
They're 4% better than the polls. What we have to see is how many constituencies the communists are ahead of the socialists. Because this is going to be run off by constituents.
Right.
And I'm having that analysis made today.
Well, that'd be a great thing if the Gaulists can hold on there. Now, what happened down in Chile? It was amusing to me that there the UPI had a stunning victory for identity for crisis.
He
got 41%. He got 41%. It means that his opposition didn't get as much as they wanted, but he still is a minority man.
Exactly. The victory of Allende consists of the fact that his opponents didn't get a two-thirds majority in favor of the impeachment. If they had said the impeachment had gone out of office, they got two-thirds. They only have about 56 or 57%. Yeah, as against 41 or 2% for him.
Amusing. It's interesting how how the press memory will focus on their reports in the French election, rather than French election, with the Iron Court and Identity. Just panically try to write the goddamn thing. To fly it right in the face of the match.
Yeah. Well, they all of us,
you see, Identity.
But they don't understand the French electoral system at all. Actually, even in percentage terms, the combination of Gaullists, independent Republicans, and center will have a majority. Even if it went by percentage, now what one has to analyze, and I won't have this until tomorrow morning.
What the seats are.
Is to do it according to districts, because actually the way they gerrymander the districts, Mr. President, is a lot of the communist votes are concentrated in a few districts, so that achievement, Mr. Bennett.
I marked it, well, I marked it in the summary, but apparently he hadn't heard anything about it. Maybe all of it.
I'll be your office, you didn't see my, my note, I was looking it up, but I sent you a memo on the job, but it's, yeah, let me suggest, if you could have the memo sent to proposal, so that, you know, the Gilbert community, that because that little girl, his wife, two daughters, and they're on the back, I suggest that all the things to get out, that one of us might call them to, because you had made a commitment to help us to call.
You call her, or the other thing you could do is to, call proposal and have him get her over there.
And then you call.
And then you come, well.
Well, I'd have to go out and call first.
Yeah, or you could call, or you could, and, yeah, but you call on my behalf so that she gets it. Let her be, it was, he speaks Spanish and all that.
So I'll get them to both of those.
And they act, and they're great folks. It's just marvelous, but just a break to get him out of there.
Okay.
I was going to ask you one other thing with regard to, give me a brief, quick rundown. You said you had a conversation with Saeed and also interviews with Kraft, indicating a rather intriguing viewpoint that they, they're taking different appraisal at the present time. What, tell me, what was it that they told
that Saeed's point was that you were the man who was concerned with the humanity, with the people.
How was he saying?
Kennedy, he said, was trying to run the whole world from Washington. You were trying to involve other people in the foreign policy, in the preservation of the peace. And that you had really the profounder humanitarian conception as compared to Kennedy.
Why?
Because you felt that a peace would only last if other people thought it was their own. But Kennedy thought it had to be run from Washington.
America, right, I get it.
And Kraft said, these countries are groups that the radicals are now the conservatives. They want to keep the world as it is. And that a lot of the investment government, if one analyzed it carefully, wanted to go back to some old primitive American values that no, not very much of society, that no longer existed. And he was trying to mobilize the people who were resistant to change. Why you were mobilizing the progressive forces in America. And he said, and on beyond that, saying the same is true in France, that the communists are appealing to those who are afraid of change, that this is a change in the world.
Speaking of ambassador to Vietnam, Nolan, whatever became of him,
he's in retirement.
Yeah. Shouldn't he have a note, one of those notes?
Yeah.
Remember? And he stood firm.
Nice.
And just on the right, one of those, the same notes that I wrote to Lodge, very right? Hard. Lodge got one, Nolan should have one. Because he stood firm all the way.
That is right, that is very good.
You would say the difference between the ambassador and the policeman. So if you just bust one of those out, I appreciate it. Now, I was going to do
the last night, even, you know, I was at a party that Roger Stevens gave me about all different things.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I heard
about all the cast. Sorry, I came late, and so I stayed a little longer. I came on at 10:30. At the end, Nick von Hartmann came in.
Uh-huh.
Of course, he's not our friend. But he suddenly started going on and saying, I was for Nixon in 1960. Kennedy was our disaster, he said. Nixon in the campaign of 1960. What he was really saying was he wanted to put foreign policy on new basis. And he said, if you listen to them on telecom, radio, not on television, you would have, then Nixon would have won by 80%. Where he went on, it was absolutely amazing. And what is happening now in these fashionable circles is that you are becoming a highly respected figure.
Even von Hartmann.
He'll blast you three times a week. But in the sort of monthly that is going around now, if a year ago anyone in a Roger Stevens party had said that you were better than Kennedy, you had a better, bigger view, he would
deal with foreign policy, they're so goddamn preeminent, that they're gonna come all the time. You see Clayton Christian swining, peace in the news, I mean, this morning, they're crap about peace with honor and the rest of it, and peace isn't working, that's a horrible thing. But he's just choking on his frustration. That, the last group of field goals that came out this day, you see what those guys said?
Exactly.
And then, of course, some of the press say, well, they're going too far and all that. Now, what the hell?
The franchise from the Sunday Times was the, he was in fact a little hypocritical about that.
Oh, sure.
But he said he has never seen such a preeminence in policy in any country since the goal dominated France at that period. He said he talked to Kennedy and to others, he said they're totally demoralized, totally disillusioned. I said that. Oh, yeah.
One other thing I want to ask you about briefly, two things I want to get on your knees. I've got a call with Bill Rogers to lay this on, and I understand that. I understand that he prefers a lunch with about 20 people, et cetera. I think that's better. Now, second, and he thinks that, as I understand it, they have a plaque that won't be on the table with the people. But I don't mind doing it. But I think we ought to play up this bit.
But it's better to do it with a small group of citizens than to a group of a large group of folks.
That's right. Likelihood of defense. But then they have the same thing. You weren't after them, so that's exactly over up. You can do it better. They have a feeling of communication. They can raise their point. And let them, when we go over, if you would get a hold, because I want to be sure Bill knows what the line is, you should call Bill and say, look, Bill, the president, defense that he went over to thank them for their handling of the defense. And then he went into discussions of various things that we want your contributions and so forth and so on. And what I mean is that he just like to have general discussion about various issues and so forth. They aren't going to say the same thing. But what I mean, I'd like to have them get them a feeling that we're giving them the same treatment we are.
What you have to be careful of, Mr. President.
They'll take anything I say and run with it.
Yes. So
but I think the main thing, and that's the reason I want you to call in. I want you to call and say, look, there are any subjects they want to raise.
But if you don't give any replies, because
no.
Send your letter to Brad and really that one is.
Before you get that, I want to ask you one other thing. I talked to Schultz, he called me yesterday, and said he'd gotten a letter from Keene.
But you've gotten a letter.
Yeah, I know. So come now, and Schultz is going to let me know today, but I told Schultz, you know, you from now on are going to meet with nobody else. Between the two of you. All right.
He's meeting with me at 6 o'clock tonight.
Good.
I had a good chance to talk to Cromer this morning also.
Good.
But you really shook up. He could have sent a very sensible letter back with which we can't have anything to end. Explaining in great detail what their thinking is and that's giving us a better hopefully. That this fellow Brittlow who was in on the discussions with Trump had a further detail. So we've made clear to the British that they can't get what he was doing in bilateral deal.
Right.
And what they have in mind is quite consistent technically. We have no objection to a common flow as long as they don't put restrictions on us on capital movements.
Right.
And that's what they promised to do. Now, I've had a personal phone call from Andrew Schmidt, who is the German finance minister. He just called me 15 minutes ago. And he said, look, we will never do anything against the United States. He said, what you have to do for us is to indicate that you're ready to intervene if necessary. Now that it's come to us,
did you pass that to Schultz?
No, until it's insisted. Now that it comes to us as a German request,
yeah.
We are not busting up the common front. They've asked us for it.
Yeah.
I think now we ought to consider it very seriously.
Intervening. Of course, runs contrary to Schultz's belief, and I agree with mine also, that we don't want the dollar to be hostage to that.
Yeah, but Schmidt said to me was, if the United States doesn't defend its our value that they consider important, and if the United States yells at us for developing a common position without them, and at the same time says, but we won't do anything.
Okay. What I would like to do is this. I would be willing, frankly, to consider intervention about it, provided we can get a commitment on their part to pour the coal on and go through for readiness that the legacy that they have for a basic reform. In other words, let one of the legacies of our administration, Henry, be that we did reform the international monetary situation. Now our line from Japan was very good, too.
That was a
struck home.
That was a struck home. That's it. Like somebody that I know that we've shown our peace to the Europeans.
And it did Tanaka indicate great
service. Oh, he was thrilled when he sent one of his top advisors right over, arriving tonight.
What do you want us to do? He should come before the Emperor, I guess.
Yeah, he wants to come.
Summer.
Aye. That's good. Anybody wants to come this summer, great.
But he wants to come to Washington.
Yes. But we could get it in May if you want it.
Not a good time. May is going to be terribly crowded. The Russians, do you think the Russians would be the latter part of June?
Yes.
See, I'm saving for your information, as you know. We're going to spend 10 days in San Clemente in July, over the 4th of July. And we're going to spend 10 days in San Clemente, the last part of August, through Labor Day. So that'll be a good time for you and your kids and all of us who don't need it.
Oh, yeah.
And the weather is fantastic.
Okay.
So those days we got to mark out, but otherwise we're doing it in July and August.
Fair enough.
Okay.
It could be the latter part of July.
We could put him on there if he'd like to have after the 4th of July.
Okay.
All right, I'll take a whack at that. That's Tanaka. Others incidentally, despite all the yakking about the future shock, next to shock, and the Tanaka's been saying some rather pleasant things about us in the East. Yet, I don't think the Japanese are killing. You know, the point is, we have to go through the hell in the center. So that's exactly what we want to collect. You know, the wire. After ending the war, you know how bad these people feel.
But
I think our position, I bet your fellow Charles understands this, and I think Van Hoffman is probably reflecting.
Whenever they go through this process.
Oh,
another thing Von Hoffman said, let's face it. That actress Elizabeth Abney was there. She said to Von Hoffman, are you saying that...
Who said this?
That there's a girl, Elizabeth Abney, she's an actress in the play. She said, how can you, a radical, say that Nixon has the best foreign policy in the last 15 years? He said, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's got the best foreign policy of the post-war period. He said, I can't stand him in domestic policy, but the foreign policy is the best in the land.
What is Van Hoffman doing? Is he a young fellow?
Youngish.
Great fellow.
Fresh.
Bad.
Just doesn't agree with.
Oh, yeah, but
foreign policy is totally on the side.
But Giles is too.
Oh, Giles is. But Von Hoffman is a screwed up guy. I mention him only that he's a total radical. Feels you're doing well in foreign policy. Giles thinks. He has not seen such political preeminence since we go all the business time and ground.
But what we want to do now is to really be worthy of it. Now, I have two other things to put in the back of your mind.
I think what you did this weekend on the currency has put you in a leadership position here, because you can now couple intervention with a demand that the monetary system be reformed fairly rapidly. I think you get the Germans on your side.
You're going to have to argue like hell with the Schultz to convince him to intervene.
Go ahead. Well, he's a little doctrinaire, but
go ahead.
Could intervene just in this crowd.
Go ahead. But you understand, I look at intervention or non-intervention in totally different terms from Schultz. To me, what really matters is the political effect in the world.
And I think it's been a mistake on Saturday. Yeah. Would it look like an attempt to bust up the European?
Now, one other thing I'm going to say is that I think that I've been thinking a lot about Africa and Latin America. I think that tokenism is all we can give to either folks when you really come down to it. And I am virtually reaching a conclusion that what I have to do is to go either, I don't know, I actually make a note, I've got to get back to trip to Brazil and maybe one other small country. Maybe two, I would do maybe three now. One day stop, two in Brazil, and a trip to Africa. Would be Brazil, an enormous fact, we could have got that with thought and so forth. Africa, we could pick the countries that are our countries. I could go to Congo, or I could go to Nigeria, or someplace. But my point is that there, the appearance and caring about the Africans and the rest of being well received, look at how the reception I think is effective. And those are things, take a week each case, work our butts off.
Thank you. I think you have to go to Mexico. But definitely to a great reception if you've been in Brazil too.
Fine. And they don't want to be second. So. But then they give us a great reception. Mexico, because they do have a tremendous radical group. And so you could be a little more interested in it.
I like the idea of going to Brazil.
Ivory Coast, we're going to have him here. Ivory Coast would be safe. Liberia, I don't want to go to the same place. Ivory Coast is a marvelous place.
Like, just go to Nigeria.
The Nigeria is a pretty big one.
I think
the Congo too. I never been to Nigeria. We probably ought to go to countries we haven't been to. You might that I haven't been to. Kenya, you could go. I've been to Canada, that's the problem. That's where we want to go to. And now, Nigeria. You might do, that would get you East Africa, and then you could do Nigeria. That's too British. Ivory Coast, they gave our business experts there, and they'll pay their debt to the group. But if we have the Ivory Coast guy here, I don't know if I should go there. Oh, but he would, it'll be a hell of a lot.
I can come
back. All right, but I covered it. And so you worked on Schultz tonight, but my view is having put it to the Europeans, I think that now they have moved our direction. We just can't sit here and say the hell with
you. Well, you see, what I would like to do is to call Schmidt back on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Say that you personally overrode a lot of technical considerations.
Yeah.
Are you willing to do this? And he takes the lead for a rapid reform of the internet.
Yeah, and why don't you tell Heath that Tanaka the same thing? Do you agree?
Yeah.
Now, is there anything, I don't want to do anything that would hurt Pompey.
Nothing.
Nothing will hurt
you.
Is there anything we could do in this field, for example, this week that would help you in the runoff elections? That's the other thing. Now, think of that. You see what I mean?